Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the good news. Praise to you, O Christ." Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Good morning. It is such a joy to be standing here in this pulpit this morning. I don't know if you have missed hearing from me these last several weeks, but I certainly have missed preaching to you. We have been blessed these last many Sundays to hear the good news from so many different voices. All the way back on Easter Sunday, Pastor Rory quoted Alice Walker's beloved and award-winning 1982 novel, The Color Purple, when he read these words from one of its characters who described church as a place where folks go to share God, not to find God. And have we been lucky in the sharing lately, or what? From assistant to the Bishop of Minneapolis, Pastor Jen Collins, we were reminded that God's promise of accompaniment is present even in times of grief and doubt. From Pastor Stanley Ayashim, we were reminded to let go of our temptation to count the sheep and focus on our call to feed the sheep. From Pastor Bonnie Wilcox, we heard about the abiding love and abundant mercy from God in Christ Jesus for us all. And then last, but certainly not least, we heard from the most recently confirmed members of this congregation, Naomi, Gabe, Andrew, and Max, each describing a beloved passage of Scripture and wondering just how God might be leading them as they continue to grow in their faith. But that is not all that we heard, was it? No. We also heard their stories. From Pastor Jen, we heard her story about encountering a rainbow on her way to worship with us. From Pastor Stanley, we heard about his journey from Nigeria to Luther Seminary. From Pastor Bonnie, we heard about her young life as a farm kid in Iowa. And from Naomi, Gabe, Andrew, and Max, we heard about the ways Jesus and this place have impacted their lives and their view of the world. These last several weeks, we have been blessed with a bevy of stories. Stories that have contributed significantly to the lives of each of our preachers. Stories that have helped to shape their faith. Stories that have moved us and expanded our hearts and minds. And what a joy it has been to hear these stories, to listen to these different voices, to share God with each of them. And just as we do each week, today we hear another story, though not quite all of it. You see, our gospel passage for this Sunday presents an answer to a question but not the question. And I think it's important that we talk about this missing question this morning, because it is a question that comes up a lot. I have heard some form of this question raised more than once and by more than one person in Bible study. This question certainly peeks around the corners of my heart from time to time. I'm sure this question will have resonance with many of you this morning. You see, before Jesus offers his answer, here is what is asked of him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Now, as you may already know from being readers of John's Gospel, or any of the Gospels, really, or maybe today's reading is your first time noticing it, but Jesus, when questioned by friend or foe, doesn't go for the easy or obvious answers. Ranging from the cryptic to the nearly indecipherable, Jesus' answers are tricky things to wrestle with. And today's text is no different. When asked why Jesus doesn't show his true self, his divinity, his glory, his godness to all the world so that they might see the truth for themselves, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Anybody else's head spinning a little bit? Right? Now, as you might imagine, there are many different interpretations of nearly every sentence of this answer that Jesus gives. And as many of you already know, the interpretation that any of us carry may shift at various points in our lives. Jesus' words are funny that way. Holy Scripture is funny that way. These stories that we use to acquaint ourselves with God are always shifting, depending, deepening, changing in meaning and in how they affect our hearts, aren't they? This week, as I studied this text, as I talked about it in our staff meeting and in Bible study, read about it at my desk, prayed about it at home, meditated on it during my commute, I was struck this week by how this answer, dizzying though it may be, hinges on this one key verse. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Let me read that again. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." When asked why he does not reveal himself to the broader public, why he doesn't just buy up billboards along the highway, why he doesn't stage a splashy press conference, why he doesn't tweet until the cows come home, why he doesn't pull up, put on all the bigness of God in some dazzling display of divinity that no one can deny, Jesus says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." When asked why he doesn't just show everybody who he really is, Jesus reminds his disciples, those closest to him, that the love they have for one another, the love he shares with all of them, is the same love the Father has for him. And that grounded in that love is the call to share the story of that love with others, to encounter one another in our own stories, to show up and to share the story of God's love with one another. We human beings want so desperately to be in the right, to be in the know, to be the bearers of proof. We want to be sure, and we insist that everyone else be just as sure as we are. You say you believe in me? You say you believe in God? Prove it. Recite the creed from memory. You say you love the Lord? Prove it. Tell me which church you belong to. You say that God is active everywhere? Prove it. Give me the numbers. You say that God promises to love us completely? Prove it. Show me a sign. In this day and age of obfuscation, of wild claims, of accusations, of fake news, with contradicting stories flung at us from the left and the right, at such a speed that we can barely find our balance, it makes perfect sense to want proof. To stubbornly stand our ground in the onslaught of uncertainty and insanity and cry out, prove it! It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? How do we know who to trust anymore? And proof is something worth asking for most of the time, isn't it? Without proof, people can just say whatever they want and claim it's true. They can call you a name. They can insult your family. They can say that your history is nothing but lies. They can question your faith, your value, your own sense of what is real and what is not. How many of you have had people who didn't know you call you a name? How many of you have had people who don't know you from Adam make a decision, a snap judgment about who you are? How many of you have done the same to someone else? Right? Proof can be very valuable, but it can be slippery too, especially these days. More and more, what we understand to be solid, undeniable proof just doesn't seem to cut it anymore. Just as quick as we are to cry for proof, we are likely to scoff and roll our eyes at the proof when it is presented to us. Jesus reminds his disciples and us that he does things differently than we do. Jesus, surrounded by those closest to him, assures him that they are loved by him and by his Father, promises that they will move through the world with the Holy Spirit by their side, and just as we read 1 week ago today, that the world will know them by the love they have for one another. Jesus isn't interested in our idea of what proof looks like. Jesus is interested in how we find one another, how we care for one another, and how we share the love of God with each other, that very love that began long before any of us even met. You see, for Jesus, the proof that matters isn't just something we see with our own eyes. Proof is in the stories that we hear from the people in our lives that we trust. Proof isn't something you can poke and prod. It is something you can feel the truth of when your friend speaks it out loud. We can go back and forth all day about what words are true and what words are not. We can argue until we are blue or red in the face about who is right and who is not. But here's the thing. I can't prove that any of the stories I have heard from my wife about her life and her experience of the world are true. But I know that they are. How? Because I have known her for most of my life. Because I love her with all of my heart. And because I trust her completely. In the years that I have been your pastor, I have heard many stories from many of you about how pastors in this place, leaders of this community, and fellow members of this congregation have hurt you, angered you, or let you down. And I have also heard many stories from many of you about how pastors in this place, leaders in this of this community, and fellow members of our congregation have loved you, brought you joy to your lives, and lifted you up when you needed it most. I don't have proof that any of these stories are true. I wasn't there. I didn't see it with my own eyes. I didn't hear it with my own ears or read it in black and white. All I have to go on is the proof of our relationship with one another. All I need to know is that you have heard my stories and I have heard yours. That you have cared for me and that I have cared for you. And it works the other way too, right? Jesus does not give proof in the way that the world demands it. Jesus offers proof through the relationships we build with one another. The foundation of God's reality is love, and it is that very same love that we are called into, called to be bearers of, called to be sharers of. So this morning, as we wrestle with the confusing answers God sometimes offers us, as we wrestle with the broken ways the world works around us, as we wrestle with the wondrous nature of God's abundant and grace-filled love for us, let us lean in a little closer to one another. Let us listen a little more than we speak. And let us seek proof in the eyes and hearts and stories of the people God has drawn us towards. And let us trust that the Holy Spirit surrounds us all, us and them, today and always. Amen. Thank you.